أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا بدر رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين صدق الله العظيم وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم طهر قلبي من النفاق وعملي من الرياء ولساني من الكذب وعيني من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, last week we commenced the discussion of this great malady and sickness that has been in the Muslim Ummah, as they say, since time immemorial. From the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right till now, we find that this particular malady, this particular challenge, this particular sickness has been present and prevalent in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not only in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but even if we study the Umam and the nations of the past, then you will find, brother, inshallah, after Salah you can read your Sunnah, inshallah. Those brothers who want to read their Sunnah now, we can go into the basement area, inshallah. So, this particular malady, this particular sickness, it was prevalent even in the nations of the past. We find in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it presented as a major challenge And what was this quality, as was discussed last week? It was this weakness and this trait of hypocrisy, which in Arabic is known as nifaq. And the person who has this quality of nifaq and hypocrisy is known as al-munafiq. A munafiq, a hypocrite. With regards to the hypocrites, again, to recap from last week, Allah Ta'ala has given them severe warning. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا. That the hypocrites and the munafiqeen will be in the lowest pit of the fire of Jahannam, and there will be no one there to assist them and help them. Allah protect us. So it is a very dangerous disease. And just to have a basic understanding is that the person outwardly appears to be a Muslim. The person outwardly appears to be a believer, a mu'min. But that iman has not reached the heart. And that is why it's so easy for a person to continue as a hypocrite. He or she can continue in this manner in a very undetected. Because we cannot look into the hearts of each other. I cannot see into your heart, you cannot see what is in my heart. But of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows what is in the deepest crevice of our hearts. And in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala made it known to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who the munafiqeen were. The Nabi of Allah was well aware that these are the munafiqeen, these are the hypocrites. But the Rasul of Allah could or chose not to do anything to them due to strategic reasons. Once, most probably Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Nabi of Allah, you know who the munafiqeen are. You just show us who they are and we will deal with them. We will dispatch them to the fire of Jahannam. We will destroy them. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I do that, it will be said that Muhammad is killing his own people. Because people do not know. They will just see that these people are being executed. They will not understand that these people are outwardly portraying themselves as Muslims, but iman has not entered the heart. Now, of course, mashallah, we all would like to call ourselves Muslims and believers. But we have to be very wary and we have to be very cautious and judgmental of ourselves. Today we find ourselves in a society where we are very quick to judge others. We're like just waiting to judge other people. I say, this person is like that, that one is like this, that organization is like this, that organization is like that, those people are like this, that community is like that. As I'm saying in general. But we do not judge ourselves. We have very good opinions of ourselves. With regards to ourselves, we're always finding excuses. Whereas it's supposed to have been the other way around. That with other people, if we see something that was inappropriate outwardly, we should find an excuse for that. Perhaps the person, this happened, that's why he couldn't do this. Perhaps this happened, perhaps that happened. Find an excuse for others. And when it comes to ourselves, then there we should be very critical. Because the reality is that we are not answerable for the actions of others. But we are answerable for our actions. Allah will not ask you on the day of Qiyamah, and why did that organization do that, and why did those people do that, and why didn't that person make salam to you, and why didn't that person, you know, answer your call or send your reply to your message. You will not be questioned with regards to the actions of others. But you will be questioned with regards to your own actions. Which clearly indicates that we have to be much more concerned about our own actions than the actions of others. So if that is the case, we have to be continuously watching ourselves, because this iman is such, al-imanu yazidu wa yanqus. The person's iman fluctuates. Sometimes the person's iman is stronger. You'll find in the month of Ramadan, our iman generally strengthens with the ibadat and with the fasting and with the barakat and the rahmah which descends in the month of Ramadan. It becomes so much more easier to come to the masjid, to perform salah, to make tilawat of the Quran and Majid. So much more easier. But after the month of Ramadan, we find it's much more challenging. So the iman becomes stronger, then the iman weakens again. But now we have to be careful that the iman doesn't become so weak that we lose our iman completely. May Allah protect us. So we have to have the finger on the pulse of our iman, constantly checking, watching our iman. With regards to this, we discussed towards the end of the bayan last week. Very quickly we went over some symptoms of a munafiq, if we may say. Some signs. Like the person goes, he's feeling some pain in the heart and the chest. Now he's worried, do I have a blocked artery? Because if I got a blocked artery, it means that eventually I'm going to die. I may just be walking and I'll have a major heart attack and I'll collapse and that'll be the end of me. Now nobody wants to die all of a sudden. So as soon as the person hears that there's a issue with the heart or feels that there's a symptom of a major issue, the person is worried. Is this not indicative of a more serious issue? In the same way, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us symptoms of hypocrisy. And this hypocrisy is a major and dangerous and lethal disease that can destroy the iman completely. And in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what are the signs of a hypocrite? Three signs were discussed in this particular hadith. Ayatul munafiqi thalathun, idha haddatha kadhaba. The person is dishonest. He lies. He or she has the habit of speaking lies. So we have to ask ourselves the question, how honest are we? In our businesses, in our homes, in our daily activities, what is our level of honesty? Why is it that I can just speak a lie? Is it because my iman is so weak, I'm not realizing that Allah is watching me? Allah is with me. Allah is away. And remember, when we will speak a lie, then generally the general rule with regards to lies is that when you speak one lie, you have to speak another 10 lies to cover up that one lie. That's how it generally works. That's a person who has the habit of lying, that habit, you know, it becomes, part and parcel of his DNA, as they say. And any person can give up the sin. But once you get into the habit of lying, it just goes on and on, from one lie, two, from two, three. So many lies now the person has to come. The person didn't come to work. The employer asked, why didn't you come to work? I was sick. He was sick. So that sick was a lie. You decided to just take a break. The doctor said, what sickness you had? They had bronchitis. So now what happened? The second lie. Which doctor you went to? Now another lie. So many lies now the person... Now the boss decides to phone the doctor. There was a locum in there. It wasn't that doctor. So how many lies the person has to speak just to cover up that one lie? And now somebody says, but I saw you in the shopping mall. I took some injection and after that, so many more lies just to cover up that one lie. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يُنْجِي وَالْكِذْبَ يُهْلِكْ. That honesty and truthfulness, it saves you. And lies destroys you. Lies destroys you. And remember, once you speak a lie and you get caught out, that person who you spoke a lie to will never trust you again. You've destroyed your trust. They're not going to trust you ever again. Because they will say, if he could speak one lie to me, then it's highly likely that this person has spoken many more lies to me. So that dishonesty will destroy you. It will destroy your name. It will destroy your integrity. And you could even lose your job in the process. But whereas you spoke it, the truth, yes, you may face some kind of a disciplinary action, some warning will be given to you. He said, you know, I got no excuse. I was feeling lazy and I didn't come to work. You spoke the truth. Yes, you'll be reprimanded, you may get a warning. But at the back of the employer's mind, and say, but you know, I admire him for speaking the truth. This man, when he speaks the truth. He doesn't speak lies. It will actually save you. It'll make you a better person. It'll, you know, make you a trustworthy person. People can trust you when you speak the truth. And on the contrary, one of the qualities of the munafiqeen and hypocrites is lies upon lies upon lies. That famous incident in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I won't go into the detail, an expedition took place and certain individuals in Madinatul Munawwara, some of whom were Sahaba Ikram who had strong iman, they didn't participate in this particular expedition. When the Rasul of Allah returned, he asked them, what is the excuse that you did not participate? The munafiqeen came and presented false excuses. Allah exposed them in the Quran and Majid. يَعْتَذِرُونَ إِلَيْكُمْ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ Allah Ta'ala says, these people will come and start. And Allah Ta'ala declares in the Quran that you do not even have iman. Forget your excuses. But there were these sahaba who spoke the truth. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we have got absolutely no excuse for not joining you. Our laziness has kept us behind. And yes, they faced some sort of disciplinary action from the side of Allah Ta'ala. But in the process, Allah honored them in the Quran and Majid, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the tawbah عَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُ And similarly, those three sahaba who presented and came forward and acknowledged their no excuse, they remained behind, Allah has forgiven them also. So truthfulness will really save you. Hence, if a person wants to strengthen his iman, learn to be honest. Learn to speak the truth. Never speak a lie. So ayatul munafiqi thalathun idha haddatha kadhaba. That when you speak the truth. Before a hypocrite will speak lies. Wa idha wa'ada akhlafa. Another sign of a munafiq. When he makes a promise, he breaks his promise. And this we find in the Muslim community, it is regarded as, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. You told the person, I will meet you at 3 o'clock. You told the person, I will pay you on the 24th or 25th of the month. Or I'll pay you on the last day of the month. That was a verbal promise that you made. Now a true mu'min will ensure that he fulfills that promise of his. That on the 25th, in fact, it will be on his mind that I must make sure on that 25th, I pay this person what I had promised to pay. Brother, can you give me a loan? I'll pay you on the 25th and I'll pay you next month on the 25th. Make sure that you pay that person. If you are a real believer, a true believer, you will even make a note in your diary. You'll put some reminder to ensure that that payment is made on time. And as we mentioned last week, if for some reason you could not pay on time, then the right thing to do is to inform the brother. The brother, look, I was waiting for some funds to come in. The person promised me he was going to pay me yesterday. Unfortunately, he hasn't paid me. So give me 2 more days and I'll get you. And I apologize for the delay. This is a sign of a true mu'min. This is a sign of a believer. Similarly, a person phones you. He phones you and you said, I'll call you back. I'll phone you back. Now when you said, I'll phone you back, what does that mean? You're telling the person, I will phone you back. So it is a promise that you are making. Just a few days ago, a person told me, Maulana, I'll be there in 5 minutes. So I made sure I was there in this particular venue on time. And that 5 minutes turned into 40 minutes. Now, obviously, the person apologized afterwards. Right? But if you told the person 5 minutes, now in that 40 minutes, how many things could that individual have done in that 40 minutes? You wasted the person's time. You put that person into takleef. You were inconsiderate of that person. Of course, there are certain reasons that happen which are beyond our control. There could have been a traffic jam. There could have been some sort of accident on the way. These are understandable. The car could have broken down. Those are separate issues. But yet the person gives his word and thinks nothing of it. And this has become so common in our community. I will phone you back. When you said, I will phone you back, you have to make sure that you phone the person back. May Allah وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ A mu'min is a sign of a hypocrite rather is when he makes a promise, he breaks the promise. He breaks the promise. So what happens, brothers? If you keep on saying certain things and you never meet up to it, people will never respect your word. But if you say that I will meet you at 3 o'clock, and whenever people have been in contact with you at 3 o'clock or on the 25th or whatever it was, you are a person of your word. What will happen? People will respect your word. They will say, this man, when he speaks, we respect his word. Hence Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he called the people towards Islam, what did he say? He said, if I have to tell you that there is an army about to attack you behind this mountain, will you believe me? They said, most certainly we will believe you. Why? Because you are Sadiq and you are Al-Amin. You are the truthful one. You are a man of your word. And not only that, you are Al-Amin, we can trust you, O Nabi Allah. You are a person we can trust. And that's the third sign of a hypocrite. وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ That when he is entrusted with something, he breaches that trust. You are given a company car, I'm just giving scenarios, you're given a company car to use for your work, and you start using for personal use. You're given a phone, a company phone to use, you're using it for your own personal. You are entrusted with monies, you are using that money for your own personal. We will say that you are not a person who values this trust. You are made a manager of that particular company. Like one person told me, Marana, I had a camera in this particular area. And one of my staff members, I was watching him on the camera, sitting on the computer, playing games. So he's playing games on the computer. Then I phoned him and said, brother, how's that work done? Is it completed? He said, no, getting sorted out, getting sorted out. And then eventually I said, how's the game going? So imagine the person was employed to do work on that computer, which didn't belong to him, belongs to the company, belongs to the owner. And instead of doing his work, office work that he was assigned to, he was sitting and playing games. This is what we term as a breach of trust. The manager trusted you to do work during that time. Instead of doing the manager's work, you are entertaining yourself. This is a breach of trust. This is a sign of hypocrisy. We won't say the person is a munafiq, but we will say this is a symptom of hypocrisy. And we have to be very careful. You have to ask yourself the question. You have to be judgmental of yourself, that why did I use this time incorrectly? Could it be that I am a person who cannot be trusted? So وَإِذَا أَتُمِنَ خَانَ That when the person is entrusted with something, he violates that trust. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. We learn in one beautiful dua, which is narrated by Ma'bad radiallahu anha. She states that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the following dua. And we can even make this dua in English. Allahumma tahhir qalbi minan nifaq. O Allah, protect my heart, purify my heart, clean my heart of hypocrisy. Because the reality is, this hypocrisy is a filthy disease. It's a filthy disease. And together with an effort that's required from our side, meaning the person has to make an effort and be willing to make some sacrifice, that I have to speak the truth, and yes, there will be consequences, so I must be willing to, you know, face the pain. If you don't face the consequence, you will not understand the seriousness of it. They gave him the car, and he was driving recklessly. Now what happened? He met up in an accident. Now afterwards you'll find that he becomes much more wary. Sometimes people, they say some people have to learn the hard way. So sometimes the person has to learn the hard way in order for him to become an honest person. So when you spoke the lie, you will have sometimes have to face the consequence of your lies. That, look, I spoke a lie. I must be honest. I think it's about time I own up for my dishonesty. I spoke a lie. Now you face their consequences. So you have to face that pain. There will be some pain and some activity and some action from your side. But together with action, then also we will resort to dua. There is a careful balance. Some people say, just make dua. He don't only make dua. It's not only dua. The Nabi of Allah, when he fought the battle of Uhud, yes, he made dua. When he fought the battle of Badr, the Rasul of Allah, what was the condition we learn in the seerah? That Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came in the tent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was raising his dua, his hands in dua, begging Allah, that Allah, if you do not help us in this battle, there will be no one left to worship you on the earth thereafter. So the Nabi of Allah, yes, he made dua and he made deep-hearted dua. But together with dua, Nabi of Allah took the necessary action, made the necessary preparations to face the enemy. So there's a balance between dua and action. So therefore, the one hand, we will take the action and face the consequences of speaking lies and make an effort to root out lies from our lives. And together with that, we will make deep-hearted dua. Ya Allahumma tahhir qalbi min al-nifaq. Allah, purify my heart from this filth of hypocrisy. And in the dua, the Nabi of Allah then says, wa amali min al-riya. That purify my actions from Riya, which is termed as, loosely translated as doing actions for show. That we're doing actions for, we want some name and fame. We're spending the charity so we can get acknowledgement. And the opposite of that is sincerity. That when I spend, I'm spending for Allah and Allah alone. If I get some recognition thereafter, that was never my intention. That was a bonus. If nobody recognized my action, that was irrelevant. But I had done this solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, Allahumma tahir qalbi min al-nifaq, wa amali min al-riya. Allah, purify my actions from showing off. Ulama kiram explained that in this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are all diseases that are also symptoms of this hypocrisy. For example, doing an action for show business is a sign of hypocrisy. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then further says, وَلِسَانِي مِنَ الْكَذِبِ. Purify my tongue from speaking lies. Clean my tongue, that my tongue must speak the truth and nothing but the truth. وَعَيْنِي مِنَ الْخِيَانَ. And Allah, purify my eyes from breach of trust. Meaning that this eye, and generally speaking, it is very easy to violate the trust of the eye than violating the trust of anything else. So though the Nabi of Allah has spoken about the eye, if the person gets his eyes under control, to get the hands under control are very easy. And what is the breach of the eye? That the person casts lustful glances. Casting of lustful glances is known as the breach of trust. That the person is now looking, because now it's very difficult, very easy rather, to cast lustful glances. You can get away with it. The person can be looking down too, and we can be casting lustful, and nowadays with the cell phones, how easy is it? So Allah, purify my eyes from the breach of trust. And the breach of trust of the eyes is just one small portion. The breach of trust in every single facet of our lives, whether it is the hands, whether it is the mind, whether it is, you know, some responsibility that has been placed on our shoulders, fulfilling that amanat and that trust. And one of the sifat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was al-ameen, the trustworthy one. And we spoke about this last week, that the Rasul of Allah was such a personality that even the disbelievers, even the mushrikeen, they had any valuable item for safekeeping, they would keep it in the safety of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they trusted him. And the Nabi of Allah proved them true, that when he migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, he ensured that Ali radiallahu anhu was appointed with a full list of the valuable items and who it needs to be returned to. So look at how particular the Rasul of Allah was, that this trust needs to be fulfilled. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran Majeed, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. That Allah has enjoined and commanded that you fulfill the trust to whom it is deserving. So each and every one of us is a trustee in some way or the other. Whether it is our children, whether it is our home, whether it is our business, we are trustee in some way or the other. We have to ensure that we are fulfilling this amanat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the qualities of a true believer. May Allah ta'ala protect us from these symptoms which are indicative of a greater malady. One alim said it very beautifully. He said, "Ye nifaq jo hai, sikka raijul waqt." That this hypocrisy is the currency of the fiqeen that have caused the greatest harm to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, more greater than the enemies out there. Because they could go undetected, and the harm that they had done to the ummah and are still doing to the ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from nifaq. And more importantly, we have to ask ourselves that, oh Allah, let it not be that any symptom of hypocrisy enters my heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restore the dignity of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and alleviate the suffering of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially in Gaza. Allah have mercy upon them, and Allah send down His unseen help upon them. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.